Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I am Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we are talking to a very, very special lady. But before I get into there, make sure you subscribe or like or share the page or the podcast so we can share this information with a lot more people and we really can get it out there into the world, because trusting your intuition is just so, so very, very important. And we're going to hear another lady's understanding of it. Margaret has another understanding of trusting her intuition and what she did. And she used it to help her tame her to-do list. But I'm not going to explain it all to you because she is going to do that. But I do need to say, and where this connection is with Margaret and myself, is it's really lovely. She is a mother of 8 children. I am one of 8 children too. So I have this sort of a connection, and I can distinctly remember watching my mum running around almost like a crazy woman. Well, she would have been a crazy woman having 8 kids. So understanding how we can really hone in and work out our to-do list and still live a little bit of a, you know, on life, still be relaxed, still have time for ourselves. But that's enough for me talking. I want to introduce you to Margaret. Hi, Margaret. How are you
going? Hi, Susan. So happy to be here. All these miles away. I love technology.
Yes, I know, because I'm in Australia and you're in
Florida, USA.
Whoa, Florida. Cool. So you cop a lot of those cyclones and stuff like we do, because I'm in Queensland, the northern side of Australia. So we cop a lot of those cyclones and stuff too.
Yeah.
Okay. So next time I hear anything like that, at least I can go, I know somebody there. I hope they're all right.
What did I say about that? It's like being stalked by a turtle. They just turn it on. Like next week sometime that thing's going to hit. Yep.
Oh, dear. All right. So we're talking about taming our to-do list, and that is so we can live a life of purpose, because we do get caught up in all that, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And we can get so involved in all of that that we forget who we are and what we are and our life purpose. But I really started that wrong, because first of all, I want to know about you. Apart from living in Florida, how did you get to where you are now?
So as you mentioned, I do have 8 children. And what had happened is I actually at that point was an executive in the high-tech industry. I fell in love with computers when I was 16, and we're talking about 1966. And so I was one of the first women, few women in the high-tech industry. And I just loved them from day one. And I got married and still kept working off and on in the computer industry. And at some point, I became the sole financial support for my 8 children. And so I had 8 children. At this point, I'm in my mid-40s. I'm an executive, and the high-tech industry, the PC side, was changing. And I needed a degree, and I had only a couple of semesters left to finish a degree. And so I went back to school full time. So I'm working in the high tech industry full time. I have 8 children. Some are older, some are still in high school, some in, well, what we would call high school, junior high. And then, and a few were in college, and they were all pretty much living at home. So yeah, I was busy. And I enjoyed
that's
it.
Not busy. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. How did you survive? Why did you do that? Like, why did you? I know I had a calling to go back to school. I did that. I went and did a uni degree. So I had that calling, but my kids, well, my youngest one was going to her own university too. So mine had grown up. I didn't really have them at home, but you still had all of them at home and you went back to school.
Well, it was really just desperation. In order to have the income I wanted and to keep it, I really couldn't just be smart. I was smart in some things, especially math and computers. And I was, you know, good at organizing, but the PC industry was changing at that point. And so they were looking for people with degrees, not just experience. Mm. And I thought, if I want to stay at the level I'm at, I'm going to have that degree. And how long can it take? I mean, it was 2 semesters. Like, you know how we say to ourselves, how hard could that be? And I was about to find out. So that's why.
And we do that, don't we? We think, I've got a bit of time now because the wheels aren't falling off at the moment. So I've got time. And then all of a sudden you take on a bit more stuff and then the wheels start to wobble and it's like, what do I have to do to survive or to keep going? And I understand exactly what you're saying about going back to have that degree, because that's exactly how I felt. I felt we had all this experience and knowledge, but as we've lived, new jobs or new opportunities have actually been created. So then they want you to have qualifications for those when you were probably one of the ones that created it.
Exactly. Yes.
So, okay. So
one of the good things that happened is my children, I think, were a little discouraged about getting through university because we'd had some struggles and financially until I was able to move up. And so I think they weren't sure it could be done. What they said about the day I got my degree and they came, you know, to graduation is they said, wow, if she could do it, I can do it. So it was good.
Yeah, so you're living by example, absolutely. All right, so obviously to have 8 kids working full-time and back at school or back studying, and I know when you're studying, every spare moment goes back into your head, goes back into, I've got to get that assignment done, or I've got to get this done. So there's never, ever any free time as such. So obviously you're good at organizing. So you know how to organize and set your life or set a little example. So how did you start that to begin with? Because to tame our to-do list, we have to understand what a to-do list is. So, can you go through that for me?
I think some people just do it in their heads. You know, they don't write it down. But I had had enough training, especially leadership training, like here's how you do a to-do list and you have to put it in quadrants or prioritize it. You know, this is an A or a B or a C. You know, like how important is it? And a lot of people focus on just what's critical at the moment, but what you really want to do is look at long-term, what's most important. And I knew how to do that. And I would sit down and say, okay, I need to get this done. You know, I have a paper coming up. I have a client who wants some special reports done that I have to make sure happen. My son has to get to the dentist. He's basketball game. Is this Friday? I'm going to be there. That kind of thing. So, and for me, I was really a to-do list nut. Okay. I was one of those to-do list people that like to check it off. So if I did something that wasn't on my to-do list, I wrote it down on my to-do list so I could check it off. And I know that I'm talking to people in your audience who do that. So I
yes,
know they're hearing this. Yes.
Absolutely. So, okay. So you do write it down. And sometimes I think writing it down, it gets it out of your head. So you stop stressing it. And when you have it in front of you in that paper, then like you say, you can adjust it and change it around and move it to suit what you need or how you need to do. And as your day evolves, it becomes, you know, a bit more understanding. And I absolutely get that if you do another job or a task that's not on there, that you have to write it down there because it's almost like justifying your time, isn't it? It's like I'm so busy that I've got to justify it almost, or at least see those ticks to have those ticks as rewards. You know, it's like, well, I've done that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, I honestly, so much was going on and my you know, my kids all had part-time jobs. Like, I was not going to bed before midnight. I was up at 4 or 5 the next morning. It was, I thought I could work 24/7. I would never get everything done. It was a horrendous period of time in my life. Now it's so much easier. I can take a nap, but not then.
Yeah. Looking back too, sometimes you wonder how you actually coped, don't you?
Oh my gosh. Sometimes after I am older now, much older, and we're retired, and I wonder how we ever had time to work. Yeah. How did we fit that in? Yeah.
That's good. All right. So you're in this headspace where you've got everything going on. You've written down your to-do list and you're still struggling. I can understand why you're still struggling with so much there. But we're talking about taming our to-do list. So how did you tame your to-do list? How did you start to move through it?
So what happened is up till then I'd had no problem. You know, up until, I guess, when I added the school, who knows what I added, that I'd had no problem until then somehow managing to get it all done at whatever sacrifice. But not only was I not getting it all done, even the things I thought were the highest priority, when I did do it, often it turned out I didn't need to. Like, I would show up with a paper and to my class at university, and there'd be a sign on the door that said, oh, the professor's sick, he'll see you Friday. So paper's not gonna be due till Friday. And I think, well, I could have, you know, worked on that paper later. I could have used this time for something else. Or I'd go to the client site and the client would be, oh, we've completely changed the specs for what we're gonna do now. So, I mean, we'll pay for what's been done, but still, we don't need that. And I would think, if I could only see the future, so I would know what really needs to get done, I could be doing the right thing. Now, I know for a lot of people, I call the voice I'm listening to in my head the voice of the divine. I know some people just consider it an intuition, a sense. That's what they call it, which is what I know you refer to it as. And I am happy to call it that. But all I thought was, whoever that is, whatever that is, it knows the future. And it can tell me either do this or don't, because I'd had enough experiences up to then of feeling impressed to do something only to find out, yes, it was really necessary, and ignoring the impression and wishing I had paid attention.
So what I'm calling intuition, you're referring to as God, because Margaret's got a Christian background, so we can use that terminology. That's fine. So you're saying that you were hearing like messages from God, messages from what I call the intuition coming through, and you were not paying attention to them. You were letting them go.
I had listened, but I had never been really specific. So that's the thing I feel about from a Christian background is, you have your choice, and he's not going to step up and take over unless you ask him to.
Yes.
And, you know, from a Christian background, there is a story in the Bible where there's a blind man who's calling out for Jesus, and people are trying to get him to shut up. And he just calls louder, and Christ comes over and says, "What do you want?" And I'm like, oh, he's blind. What do you think he wants? But that's kind of how God is with me. If I don't say, please, because he's not going to take over and just do it unless I want him to. He respects and honors it. And I think our intuition is the same way. If we don't want to pay attention, we don't have to.
Absolutely. Because that's one of the first things I say is you have to ask. And when you ask, you can ask in a manner that is like, oh, for goodness sake, come on, help me. Or you can actually ask in prayer.
Yes.
So it's just asking, and asking allows you to be open to receiving, because if you don't ask, and that to me was all about free will, and that's where you don't get stuff shoved at you. You ask, and the free will allows you to receive it. So, yeah, I'm following you. I know where you're going. Before we go any further, though, I just want to make sure that everyone knows, because it is a podcast, not just the videos. We've got the little ticker going down the bottom, and it is the website for Margaret. So if you want to connect with Margaret, the website is inhisfootsteps.com. inhisfootsteps.com. That will give you a bit of an understanding of where we're going next. because you, Margaret, were listening. You started to get an understanding that this little voice that you were hearing, or this, that the messages you were getting, they knew something that you didn't know. So you started listening. How did you do that?
I asked, like you said. So I would take my daily to-do list, like, here it is. Here's everything I think is important to do today. And then I would say, what do I need to do? What do I really need to do? And, you know, just from the time I was young, I knew how to get impressions. By the time I was doing this in my 40s, I had learned to discern what thoughts in my head were coming from the divine and from God. And so as I looked at it, I would have this thought, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this. I definitely need to do that. And probably I should do this other thing. And then he started adding, like, help for other people. Like, I wasn't busy enough. It'd be call a certain person or drop a meal off, or, you know, like when you're cooking, cook twice as much tonight and drop it at a neighbor. And so that's how my life slowly began to be reshaped. I just would take that list and add things, mostly cross things off.
Wow. And you so you also not only got the messages from what was happening on the to-do list, how you were taming that, but you were also getting other messages, which was more of a guidance to go a bit further, to open your life up even more, or not so much more, but differently.
Right. It changed. Now, it didn't change immediately. It took a while because that was a very stressful time. And for a while, I stopped doing it because I thought, you know, I need to stop bothering him with my petty little life. You know, I should be able to handle this. And it happened again. And when it happened the second time that I got so overwhelmed, I started again. And then I thought, oh, I think he does want me to ask. He actually, there is a plan for my life and a purpose for my life. And my day is my life. That you know, like, whatever I'm doing today, that's my life. And that's when I changed it from what do I have to do today? What do I need to get done today? To what do you want me to do today? And that is when my life really changed.
Yes. That's when you're really opening up, aren't you? That is nice. It gave me goose pimples. okay. All right. So this is this crossover from having this huge list to do to then starting to listen to that voice and the information you're receiving to really prioritizing different things, and then going one step further and starting to listen and follow and trust that voice, trust those messages you're getting, and step into a world that's completely different and move that in. How long did that take, Margaret? Like, what time frame are you looking at with that one? I know you tested the theory by stopping and then starting again, but
yes, it was about a 3-year time difference, like for about a year and a half until I got through school, actually. I was doing that. Now, at the time, I'll share one experience. After my first marriage ended and I was divorced, I had some lonely times and I thought, I just need a friend, a huggy friend. I want a huggy friend. That's what I want. And one of the things I was given to do one day was, as I said, take a meal to a neighbor. I didn't know her very well, but I fixed the meal, took it. And I honestly think, since she also went to the same church, that I probably said, God told me to bring this to you, or something like that, because she writes about it and says, this woman shows up at my house with a meal. And she had been going through a really hard time. And so she started wanting to spend time with me, and we became best friends, like your third grade best friend, except we had money and could drive. Like, yes. Yeah. So it was great. And so it was often the things I did that turned out to be the answer for what I was praying for in my life.
Oh, okay. And so you're praying for something and you're getting these other types of messages that are actually leading you down towards what you were praying for. But if you didn't listen to those messages, you may not have got there.
No, and I can tell you, like, there was, I even just did it recently. You would think, as many years as I've been doing this, like, I hear that little thought and then the thought comes back and it's a little thought and the thought comes back a third time and you think, and it can be something crazy, not even crazy, just like it seems so insignificant. I was just at my son's house and I had to take a flight home and taking my granddaughter somewhere. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna put my luggage in the car when I get back with her. And the thought came, put it in now. And I said, I'll put it near the door. And the thought came, put it in now. But I didn't. And I ended up, someone else picked her up. I didn't ever go back to the house. And I forgot I didn't have my luggage until I was at the airport and opened the trunk and thought, oh, it should not be empty. But it is. So that was like, and I didn't have my car keys with me. They were in the luggage. And so I was like, well, I want to get to that airport. I'm not going to have any keys. But somehow we managed to make it all work out. But my luggage is still at my son's house. So I have learned to pay attention. And I would love to say I'm perfect at it, but I am mostly perfect at it.
Yes, I totally agree. I know exactly what you mean, because you do get those messages, and I've done that before where it's gone, oh no, you need to do that now. No, you really need to do that now. And yeah, you still go, hang on a minute, let me just do this, and then completely forget about it. And yeah, you know. And don't you feel like a dope? You sort of go, oh, I knew I was supposed to do that, and I didn't.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, but you know, there's the other thing I started doing, because I might not be the only one with this problem. I really don't like to be micromanaged, and I don't like to have my plans changed. And so if I stopped looking at my to-do list in the morning and going over it, I started doing it the night before. Now I know a lot of organized people are going to do their to-do list the night before anyway. And it wasn't that I didn't have it. It's that I didn't sit down with it and say, what should I do today? Or what do you want me to do today? Here's what's on my list. And so now that I started doing it at night, it's much easier for me when I get up the next day to be happy with what I'm doing. Not be thinking, yeah, that's not the list I had.
I see what you mean. So you've got a better focus on where you're going and what you're doing, because you feel like you've asked, you've received the information, and so you know where you're going and you know what you're focusing on for the day. Is that what
and
you mean?
Yes. And yeah. And if I waited till the morning, I was too committed. You know, I was like irritated when the list got changed. But if I do it at night, I'm fine with it. And often, and this is very often, I will have hardly anything on the list. And I'll think, well, maybe I'm going to have a couple hours to sit and read a book. But something always happens. So it was like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I didn't fill all that time up, because I needed it for what just happened. You know, yes. We had a friend whose brother just died. And so we're like, oh, I'm glad I have a couple hours. I can run to see her. You know, I can stop and pick up some food to bring to her. This is kind of funny. Have you ever seen those spiral hams that they wrap like in gold foil?
The spiral hands?
Hams, H-A-M-S. A ham. Yeah. So we're not eating meat right now. But so it's like a big ham. And I always feel like, oh, if someone just died, you have to bring them a ham, right? So they can make ham sandwiches. And so we get this big ham. And it's actually wrapped in gold foil and then with the stringy thing around it, right? And as we're walking out of the store, this little girl says, I have never seen a piece of chocolate that big before.
Oh, if
and you still haven't. But you know what? it was like we had the time to do it because I hadn't completely scheduled my day. Because it was, yeah, there was time.
Yes, and that makes a difference too, doesn't it? So we allow ourselves. I know, like Fridays, which to me, today is Friday for me. I know it's Thursday for you, it's Thursday afternoon, but it's Friday morning here in Australia. And Fridays are my day. So I work part-time and that's Monday to Thursday, but Friday's my day. And this is when I do my podcasts and I do the things that I want to do. And it's funny, I've started to really catch up on everything. My to-do list is actually decreased, you know, a lot. And I just really look forward to Fridays, because apart from an interview maybe in the morning or, you know, a few other things that I've got to do, I've sort of got the day off and I can go, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. And I agree with you. Every time I sort of go, oh, I've got the day to do whatever I like, something else comes in. And it's almost like And it's not that I get grumpy with it or anything. It's just like, well, I'm glad I've got the time. I've got the space to do that. You know, it's really nice not being overloaded all the time.
Yes. Yes. And that's the first thing that happened. The first thing that happened when I started just doing what God told me to do back when I was going to school full time and, you know, working in the computer industry and had the children at home. And at that point was, as I said, going to sleep at midnight and getting up at 4 a.m. I began to be finished by 8, as long as I didn't add anything else to the list. It's so easy to add stuff, you know. Oh, you know what? I think I'll just start crocheting baby blankets or something. You know, like who knows what you've decided. And I don't. I just did what was on the list. I was done every night by 8 o'clock and didn't have to get up till 6. I was just, wow, I'm just living this life. And somehow it all got done. All the important things that got done. The things that were on my list that I felt like I shouldn't do turned out never, ever needed to be done.
Wow. That I find really interesting. Yeah. Because you don't realize how much we put in our head and think we need to do when we don't need to. So I just want to go back over this. Oh, hang on. There's also, if you want to jump on to, I'll show you this little one too. Margaret has a monthly newsletter that comes out and you can put your email down and everything else. You can apply for it. No, subscribe. That's the word I'm thinking of. Subscribe for it at inhisfootsteps.com. So at the website, you can find it there. So there's a monthly newsletter there that you can subscribe to. No,
I only do it once a month and it has stories. It just has stories kind of like this. Oh, here's a thought and here's a story that goes along with it that explains it. Like I have one that was called The Right Question. I was griping because I had to do all this cooking and my husband is older, kind of a different time frame. And, you know, that's my job, right? Now he'll help if I ask him, but I was kind of griping to God because that's who I gripe to. And, you know, like, how come I have to doodle? We're both retired. And he said, well, first of all, you don't, because you know, whenever you ask him to help, he does. That's number one. And the second thing is you are asking the wrong question. What do you mean? He said, well, you're always asking, how much is this putting me out? And I thought, I'll give you that one. I ask that one all the time. Like, if I have to give up doing this to go help someone with something, how much is it putting me out? I do think like that. I hope I'm not the only person. And so I thought, okay, well, then what's the right question? And he said, the right question is, if you do this, how much will it make this other person feel loved?
Oh, that's flipping it, isn't it?
Yeah. And I thought back through. So that's the kind of things I'll put in the newsletter, stories like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. I like that. Okay, so that's the month. Yeah, and in hisfootsteps.com, you'll find that. You can sign up for that, subscribe to that monthly newsletter. Now, the other thing. So what I was sort of looking at when you were talking about this, because what you've achieved now in taming your to-do list, you've actually achieved a life of purpose, or you've achieved a life that you feel is on purpose, which is ideal, especially if you are asking God, you know that you're definitely on the right track, unless you're asking the wrong questions, which we just found out then, which we're allowed to do. And asking the right questions is one of the biggest challenges, isn't it?
So it's interesting because what I found is I can ask follow-up questions. Oh, I had a thought of what I was going to say at that point, but now I've forgotten it. But we'll just make up a true story. But so I remember him saying to me once that he wanted me to start a radio show. And I thought, you know, I don't have a clue how to do that. So how would I even get started? And it was, well, call the radio station. good point. And so I did. And then it was, I kind of know how to edit audio, but not really good at it. And it was, you know, call this person. And so I got step by step taken from here's where I want you to go, how to get from here to there. And I think even people who just say, well, I just had an impression I should do this. I think you can ask that same question. Well, what's step one? Because I don't even know how to do step one.
Yes. Okay. I didn't, yeah, I sort of didn't look at it that way either. That's really interesting because I would have gone, okay, what do I need to do? And it's like, well, like you say, mine was, you know, start a podcast. It was like, okay. And it was, I then went in and did all the research and did all the action and I went through it all. I think probably 6 months I sat there and went, don't really want to do this. Don't know whether I can do this. Yep. My biggest thing was with the podcast, my biggest thing was the commitment. When I say I'm going to do something, when I commit to something, I commit 100%. That's it.
Yeah.
And if I said I'm going to do a weekly podcast, I will do a weekly podcast.
There you go.
And so, yeah, it took me like 6 months before I was ready to say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm ready to do it. And I know when I first started, I would type everything out and then I'd sit there and read and it was like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh gosh, yes. My radio show was the same way. It took me a week to get the first half hour show done. But yeah.
So where's your radio show? Like that's locally in
Florida. Well, you know, I only did that for a year and a half and I did post it on iTunes and that was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. It was like 8 years ago that I did it for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I think I have links to all of them on my website, on my blog. There's a place that'll say shows or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because mostly I was hitting retirement age and I knew most of the baby boomers were heading that way. And mm-hmm. I thought, we're so healthy. What are we going to be doing with this last 20 years of our lives? And a lot of us who in the 60s and 70s, I was like, live the passion of your 60s in your 60s. Like you're here now, you have time. A lot of you are financially okay. And so now's the time to go out and remake the world. Like now's the time to go out and be visiting people in the prisons and getting prison rehabilitation programs started. Or now's the time to, you know, go help build houses for Habitat, just something. And so the radio show was all about talking to people who were doing things like that.
Oh, okay. And it's true because I feel that it's, of course it's true because you've got the show, but what I'm trying to say is I feel that when with the age aspect, when we do get into the 60s, we do start to go, well, hang on, it's not just about me. Yes, I've got a good life. Yes, I'm feeling happy. Yes, I'm content. I've got a bit of money. I've got a bit of freedom, a bit of time. And I can start to look at the greater community and put that out there and you know, start to evolve yourself more with the bigger community. So yeah, that would have been quite interesting. And you ran it for a year and a half, did you?
Right. And then once I was actually had a couple more shows lined up and it was okay, stop. All right. I'm stopping. And you know, it's interesting because I'm the sort of person who if I'm told something like that, like with you with your podcast, you're in it 100%. I'm like, so I'm going to become, you know, the next Good Morning America show or just, I don't know what, you know.
Yeah.
Surely I'm not just going to be out here in the boonies, but yes, I was.
Yep, know how you feel. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you sort of start it and you sort of think, well, okay, like I'm, you know.
Maybe I'm supposed to grow it. Like, what's the next level? What's the next level? Yeah, no.
Yeah, and that. I think it's a lot of it's our learning, and it's you. When you're talking about it before, it's taking those steps to get to where we need to be, and I need to be. I've always wanted to talk publicly, but I do a lot of ums and ahs, and I've done a bit of training and everything else, but I didn't feel confident in talking about intuition and spirituality and all that sort of thing, mainly because I didn't grow up with it with my family, so. I sort of stood out there. So for me to be able to talk, it was very, very challenging. The podcast has allowed me to talk. The podcast
is so intimate and yet so people can hear it. Yeah. So you're talking to many, many, but it feels like you're only talking to one.
Exactly. And it makes a huge difference. It's allowed me to find my voice and say what I want to say or what I am guided to say in my way, and I can connect with people on a different level. And if I'm doing it wrong, no one's telling me that yet. Doing a podcast, I'm not getting the feedback saying, oh, you know, you made a mistake the other day. It's like, well, you know, guess what?
Okay, that happens. Well, who was it? Oh, my gosh, Julia Child. You know, she was that cook, the cooking show. And yeah. I think she, at one point, she drops a roast beef on the floor and she picks it up, puts it on the counter and keeps going. She says, remember, you're all alone in the kitchen. She's just going along.
No, what people don't know, they don't need to know.
Yeah, they don't need to know. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Ilo, we've got our own to-do list that we feel that that's what we need to do. Our life purpose may have a slightly different to-do list.
Yeah.
And so what you've actually done then is blended your physical to-do list with your spiritual to-do list that you may not be 100% aware of until you started to listen to those connections. And then, and then it's all gone forward there. But again, the other thing I found, and like we're talking about with the podcast and with your radio station, it's you're sometimes directed or guided to do things that you just don't expect. It's just not on your to-do list.
No, you never would have thought of it. And then it turns out you enjoy it. It really is you. It's as if, you know, you didn't know you could do this. There you are. And you like it. So that's, to me, was the best part. I like to say I was given the most beautiful life. I never even knew I wanted until I had it.
Yes. Yeah. And you didn't know the learnings in it and what was part of it. It's funny, Margaret, but I've only just, because of the podcast, I'm just about on my, no, we're up to our 104th edition or 100, wow. This is the 104th one. And so I've been running it for, that's 2 years, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's 2 years. 2 years.
So, yeah, 2 year celebration. Woohoo, look at us.
Stand for the cake.
But I had no idea I would enjoy it as much as I do. I really didn't. Right. And if I had pursued, say, public speaking 2 years ago, COVID hit. And that just all stopped.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Absolutely. See how great that is?
Yeah. Yes. So it's
because
like,
you listened and you did it, even though you didn't know how to do it. You did it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I love it. And the people I've met have just been amazing. I'm just in awe. You know, it is so exciting and so good to be here. And so I'm really pleased that I have to be honest, I don't think I've tamed my to-do list as well as you have. I'm getting better though.
Yep.
Yeah. And I actually like the idea of writing it down because I was a bit of a head one. Oh, I do the calendar. That's my sort of to-do list is the calendar. But yes, I'm going to be a little bit more open-minded on it. And I'm going to go, okay, do I need to do that? Is that important? You know, and start to get a better understanding of it. Because sometimes I feel like when our to-do list gets above us, it gets a little bit overbearing, we start to stagnate. We start to almost tread water, don't we?
Right. And we're not enjoying our life if there's too much on it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So by doing what you've suggested and you've guided us with today, it's allowed us to take that to-do list, get a better understanding of it, listen to the voices we're getting, listen to those messages we're receiving, however we receive it, but start to listen to it and take them on board. And you know what? When I think about that, that's a terrific way of developing your intuition as well. It's a terrific way of developing the if it's God you want to be talking to, it's a great way of really opening up that channel, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And like I said, you really learn to trust it. Like, oh my gosh, once like when I didn't listen, you know, like, oh, I wish I had. And once I can remember making out my to-do list, and I always do the orders back then because we had, we were selling stuff over the internet, and Monday morning was a big day for the orders. And so I just would put that down, do the orders, and then the rest of the stuff. And that day, I felt God say, yeah, don't do the orders. And I thought, you know what? Let me tell you, I always do the orders Monday morning because I tell people I'm shipping next business day. This is next business day, and I'm shipping. And but it was a holiday, and the post office was closed. Yeah.
It's almost a slap across the head. No, it was to do it.
You really need to listen to me. It's okay. I'm not going to like let you down. I'm not going to drop you into, you know, the alligator pond.
And that is all the trust side of it, isn't it? That is sort of going.
And that's why I think by trying it, you start to trust. Oh, it did work out. And then I stopped worrying about you know, am I late in traffic? Because I'm like, okay, I was doing everything I was supposed to. And I think, oh, I'll work out. The other people will be late too, or something like that. You know, it always does. And so I don't get as upset about things.
Yes.
Or as worried.
Yeah. Yeah. Life just chills along a little bit easier, doesn't it? It's just a lot calmer for you. And of course, again, it opens up then and gives you the time to do what you need to do for your life purpose. You know, it gives you the opportunity to share with the community and gives you the opportunity to open up with other people. So on that note, we have to say goodbye. Is there anything else you'd like to bring forward, Margaret?
No, I hope people will just try it because it's so life-changing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's simple, but it's quite phenomenal at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. People always say, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm like, well, how do you plan to do that? Well, guess what? Give him today. Just start with today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. And again, if you want to connect with Margaret, it is inhisfootsteps.com. Okay. Nice and easy. Inhisfootsteps.com. And that's what she did to get through her to-do list. So can you stay on the line for me, Margaret? And I will finish off the show. Solo layout for me. So that was really good. And what I really liked, it gives you a concrete understanding of how you can take a to-do list, a physical activity that you need to do and rah, 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 and allow that spiritual side to come through, allow the God side to come through, allow the intuition, whatever it is you want to call it, allow that side to come through and guide you to where you need to go, not necessarily where you think you need to go, because that's what we often do, feel like we need to be there and we don't actually need to, as Margaret did explain to us. But I must admit, I want to try that myself. I want to actually try writing it down and then acknowledging every bit and asking and saying, okay, do I need to do this? Do I need to do it? And really open myself up to get those answers, because that's what we're looking for. So that is it for the show. Remember to subscribe, like, share the podcast or the YouTube show to your friends. The other thing I wanted to say is I have got an online course on available now, which is all the tools to develop. No, it's not all the tools. Sorry, I do apologize there, because this was a tool. This is another tool to help you develop your intuition and really connect. So there's a lot of tools on there. So I've created a lot of tools in this little online course, just so you can try and test different things. Because one of the things that I did learn, and one of the things I'm really particular about in having guests on the show, is because they've got their tools and they've got their understanding of it, and they can help you too. So if you connect with those people, then you might find that that's the tool that you need to help you develop your intuition, help you connect with your spiritual side. So that's what it's all about. I'm Susan Jane. I have to say bye for now because we're getting running out of time, and I will catch you next week. Okay, guys, bye for now.